survey.
Is that, was that created?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I saw something about that yesterday.
The survey was created, it's just the input sheet, and Anna, they'll get a follow-up email tomorrow that will also, with instructions on how to provide further input.
Okay.
And then do we want to give one of our phone numbers in case they're having any technical trouble or...
Yeah, we can give my number.
Or I can give mine because I know it.
No, they won't see it, but she's the presenter. Only her screen is showing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, because you're on as a panelist. I don't know why it's not showing that. Someone's sitting somewhere nice. Birds in the background, that's true.
Okay.
All right.
And welcome to the Health Information Technology Oversight Council presentation today on the draft Health Information Exchange Strategic Plan for Oregon. And we consider today's webinar as a one of our public meetings to receive input on our strategic plan. And my name is Carol Robinson. I am the State Coordinator for Health Information Technology and the Director of the Health Information Technology Oversight Council that we also refer to as HITOC. Today I have with joining me Chris Coughlin of the Harrelson Group and Dave Witter of Witter & Associates, as well as our staff member Oliver Droppers. So if you hear a variety of voices on the line today, they'll be answering questions and presenting you with some information. Before we get started this morning, I'd like to ask Chris to just run through a few brief instructions about this webinar so that you feel comfortable with the technology and ready to engage and interact with us. Chris?
Thank you, Carol, and welcome this morning. Just a couple quick pieces of instructions to make this call go more smoothly. First of all, at this, as you may know, we're using a conference call-in for this webinar, and we would ask that you all mute your phones because you are actually it's a live call right now because we want to be able to have good audio quality for the question and answer portion of the presentation later. So we are, for those of you that might have been on our last webinar, we had some audio difficulties with having participants ask questions. So we're trying to fix that, but we just ask you to mute your phones. Otherwise, all the rest of us will hear the background noise in your wherever you're taking this call. If you have questions as Carol works through the presentation, we ask that you enter those in the dialog box on your webinar screen, and we will either answer those verbally as the presentation goes on or during the question and answer, or you may receive a written response during the webinar. If you have any problems with access, either the audio or the slides, you should be seeing a slide right now on your screen. You can call my cell phone. That's 503-312-8178. Again, 503-312-8178, and we will do our best to get a solution to that. When you exit the webinar today at the end, a survey will pop up that has the same questions that are being provided during the public meetings in the five communities that we're in the process of visiting over the next last week and then next week. So please take a moment to fill out that survey if you have any input. You'll also receive an email tomorrow, a follow-up email, that will also have instructions on how to provide input on the strategic plan. So we just really want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to provide input before the plan moves back to HITOC at its August 5th meeting to be finalized. This webinar is being recorded, and so we would just ask that you also let people know that they will be able to access the recording afterwards. We'll have that posted by tomorrow so that people can also take a look and listen to the presentation and provide additional input. Thanks, Carol. Back to you.
Thanks so much, Chris. And so just getting started, I'm going to advance this slide. I'm going to try to advance the slide. There we go. The outcomes for today's meeting is really to increase your understanding of the context of federal and state health reform in terms of health information technology, and to provide an overview of the Oregon Health Information Exchange Strategic Plan that has been developed over the past 10 months by many of your colleagues and peers around the state. We'd like to gather your input on the plan in its whole or in its parts. And so any specific comments that you would like to make to us, we'll definitely are tracking those, and we'll be going through an editing phase this month. And then we'll give you an update on the next steps. So federal reform and really began, health reform really began about a year prior to the passage of the recent health care reform in 2010. And that was with the passage of the ARRA stimulus bill. Within ARRA, the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, there was a portion of that bill referred to as the High Tech Act. And President Obama, within that, basically put down threw down a gauntlet, so to speak, to the states across the country and healthcare providers, and asking that within 5 years, really by 2014, that all American medical records are computerized. The idea that this will create jobs, we can talk about a little bit, but the real gist here is improving quality and lowering costs. So that we want to emphasize that health information exchange and health information technology as part of that exchange is really not the be-all and end-all goal, but it's really to be used to accelerate greater health reform. So a few key leaders across our country have been working to promote this message. David Blumenthal, who's the national coordinator for health information technology, has asked states to play a leadership role in utilizing health information exchange to meet state and federal health reform goals. Kathleen Sebelius, of the head of Health and Human Services, has included health IT items in the list of the Health and Human Services top strategic priorities released in May of this year. And within the High Tech Act, incentive payments will be available to Medicaid and Medicare providers. We've calculated an estimate in Oregon of over $300 million over the next 4 years could be available to Oregon providers for meeting what is known as meaningful use of health information technology and exchange. In Oregon, we have our own set of health reform goals as well. And with the passage of House Bill 2009 and the creation of the Oregon Health Authority, and within that, the creation of the Health Information Technology Oversight Council, the core focus or the meat behind those goals is really around a triple aim. And that triple aim is really about improving lifelong health of all Oregonians, increasing, of course, the quality, reliability, and availability of care across our state, and lowering or containing costs of health care. And so within the work around health information exchange, we have really focused on this triple aim goal and created a strategic intent of our own here within our strategic plan, which is really about having patient information at the point of care when and it is where it is needed to improve both health and health care. So the goal of our plan and statewide health information exchange is not only to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the health care system, but really to make that information available to consumers and providers so that better health outcomes across our state are reached. There's a timeline for completion of our health information exchange plans here in Oregon, and I'd like to talk just a little bit about the slide that you see in front of you right now. Just emphasizing that we began our work with HITOC's first meeting in October after the committee council members were confirmed by Oregon Senate, and we set up a strategic work group to advise HITOC on the development of the strategic plan, and they began meeting in January of 2010. This slide really shows our efforts to engage the public in the creation of this plan, and today is just one of those meetings. You'll notice that we have been down to Medford and out to the Dalles for community meetings last week, and we will be visiting the communities of Coos Bay, Roseburg, and Bend next week for in-person community meetings in addition to today's webinar. The comment period is open and available for your input through the 14th, the end of the day on July 14th, after which time that will be working to integrate that input into the strategic plan for re-presentation back to HITOC at the end of this month, and final approval of the strategic and operational plans by HITOC on August 5th. On this slide, you can notice that we have a marked date sometime in mid-October for phase one to begin. We actually do believe that we will be setting up work groups a little bit earlier than that. And so if you're interested in being part of the process of phase one as you hear about that, we'd certainly welcome you letting us know. As part of the stakeholder engagement meetings and the sharing of information through our newsletters and our regular webinars and our in-person meetings, we would pat ourselves on the back a little bit in terms of an early success, knowing that we have a long way to go in planning and operationalizing health information exchange. I think that we included this slide to show that we feel that so far we're getting some great new suggestions for the strategic plan, but we're also have received a lot of support from those people who have been involved in the process. I mentioned the kinds of outreach that we've done, and I want to emphasize the last bullet on this slide around our Privacy and Security Forum, which we held on May 25th at the Portland Convention Center. The Oregon Convention Center in Portland, I should say. The Privacy and Security Forum was focused primarily around Oregon's consent policies, and you can read about that on our website. We had over 150 people in attendance for that meeting and received some positive feedback in terms of our current direction. As I said, the strategic intent of health information exchange in Oregon is around healthy Oregonians, with the initial health information exchange vision to really be about having information available when and where it is needed, and we would assume that would be with your healthcare provider, perhaps with your pharmacist, perhaps at an emergency room in a hospital at some point in time, and to improve the health care that you receive and ultimately the health of Oregonians. Because we understand that there are goals embedded in having that information available, and part of that is really about population health. I'd like to emphasize that public health reporting and better disease surveillance is certainly a key goal within this, and better understanding of current quality of healthcare and those variations in quality around our state. So to talk a little bit more about the strategic plan itself, a quick overview, and then I'll go into some more detail. Is really that Oregon has selected implementing our statewide exchange in an incremental phased approach. And we do this because we have heard from Oregon stakeholders that there is a pretty high adoption rate of electronic health records systems in ambulatory care settings in Oregon in comparison with other states. So investments have been made not only by clinics and provider practices, but also by health information organizations, and hospital systems, and physician groups. And the Health Information Technology Oversight Council, HITOC, has elected to really support those investments and try to leverage those for statewide coverage. We also understand that there will be very necessary central services that will be needed to be provided at the state level to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of that information traveling electronically. And I'll talk a little bit more about those central services on the next slide. The idea that we know that there will be gaps in coverage is something that those central services will also be supporting. And so if you live in an area of the state where there is not an easy solution for you to meet meaningful use or begin to exchange information electronically to receive a provider incentive, then the central services or the strategic plan will evaluate and set up systems where that will be available to those services will be available to every provider in the state. We believe that standards and a certification process for the exchange of information to ensure security and interoperability is very important. And HITOC's strategic plan in terms of that will set up a process to develop those standards and a certification or accreditation process very early on. And so that as information begins to move electronically between organizations and across jurisdictional or geographic boundaries, that there'll be a set of rules of the road, so to speak, that will provide consistency and security to those records. What is the role of the state in terms of this? And we believe that a facilitation role is really the key to this. This is a public-private partnership between healthcare stakeholders, consumers, and government. And so we certainly want to provide accurate communication, to provide coordination of efforts, to mitigate the risk and understand the gaps that we have both in geographic coverage but also in terms of certain types of entities that may not be able to access the funds for electronic health records. And we believe the state needs to hold systems accountable in terms of the standards of security. Where is Oregon right now? And this map shows you a little bit of a depiction of sorts of the state of health information exchange coverage. So there is exchange occurring in communities across the state, and as I said earlier, investments are being made in that exchange. And so this map shows that many of our urban centers are beginning to organize within communities to exchange information between hospitals and providers, between pharmacies and providers, and of course between labs as well. And we also see within this map that there are some gray areas where there really aren't any systems in place. And so our mitigation plan will be essential to ensure that this is available for all Oregonians. So a little bit more of the detail within this slide of our plan. There are five domains that the Office of the National Coordinator in providing an $8.58 million four-year grant to Oregon has asked us to cover in our strategic and operational plans. Those domains going down the left column of this slide are governance, technology, the legal and policy aspects of health information exchange, the business architecture and operations of statewide exchange, and, of course, the finance piece. In Oregon's strategic plan, as I said earlier, we believe that in phase one, the adoption of policies, requirements, standards, and agreements, those statewide standards and accreditation for the security and interoperability of health information exchange is important to put into place early. And so we will have a certifying body that is created, and the selection of standards and requirements will be developed in phase one. We also believe that and know that many of our medical migration trends cross over state boundaries, and so we are working with our neighboring states to begin to think about those interstate agreements that will be necessary for providers to share information across state lines. And in terms of that, there are some potential legal challenges that we will need to address and understand better. So really understanding the current privacy limitations and specially protected health categories, both in Oregon and in our neighboring states, is important. And we'll be setting up a committee, a work group, to dig deep into that in the early fall. We also believe that that the responsible approach to health information exchange on a statewide basis will be in need of a sustainable finance plan. Now, the Office of the National Coordinator has asked all the state and territories who have received these cooperative agreement grants to provide a budget for health information exchange across a four-year time span. And part of that budget, or the beginning of that budget, will be submitted with our operational plan. But an ongoing effort will be immediately set up in the fall to develop a sustainable finance plan so that when federal funding to seed this effort is has run out, that there is a model for ongoing financial support. And so determining the services that are of most value across Oregon's communities and pricing models or revenue models to sustain those services will be part of a phase one strategic planning process. We have a solid line between phase one and phase two, and what that solid line indicates is really the transfer of governance from state in terms of the help of the HITOC to a nonprofit entity designated for designated by the state for governing this public utility of sorts of health information exchange. And so after the standards are set and the finance plan has been approved and legislative support or the legislation necessary to enable the designation of a state entity has been established, we will be running a process to determine either an existing or a new nonprofit entity to take over this governance role. At that time, we believe that the central services and technical support services will be up and running and will be then transferred to the state designated entity. And there'll be, of course, as with any business plan, an ongoing review of finance plans and sustainability plans of the legal and policy procedures and systems that need to be in place, and the additional services that may be useful to Oregon's communities. The dotted line between the columns indicates the ongoing business planning of that nonprofit. So, as I said, we're in the public comment period, and I'd like to reflect a little bit about a simultaneous planning process that's occurring right now before opening up the lines to more of a dialogue between you and being able to answer your questions. Simultaneous to the cooperative agreement program run by the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS, has also awarded states with planning money to develop a state Medicaid health information technology plan. And within those state HIT plans that are being developed by the Medicaid offices around the country, are the incentive payment programs for Medicaid providers to be able to receive their incentive payments for meeting meaningful use of health information exchange. the meaningful use requirements or the rules around those meaningful use requirements are set to come out any day, and that's what we're hearing from CMS. But in advance of those, states are working very hard to be able to set up processes and a program that will allow providers to access those payments in 2011. So Oregon's conducting that planning simultaneously. There'll be more information that will be forthcoming in the very early fall about those incentive, about that incentive program for Medicaid providers. I want to say that there are two different incentive programs, and one is run through Medicare. Those payments will come from the federal government, from CMS. That incentive program runs 4 years, beginning in 2011. Providers, if they meet meaningful use, as determined by CMS, will be able to receive up to $44,000 for individual providers over that four-year period of time. The Medicare requirements within that is that providers would have 30% of their patient mix being Medicare patients. On the Medicaid side, those payments flow, as I said, from the states. And for pediatricians, the patient mix must be 20% Medicaid, and for all other providers must be 30% as well. On the Medicaid side, providers will be able to access those incentive payments for up to 6 years, beginning in 2011 and extending to 2021. So at any point where providers have adopted, upgraded, or implemented electronic health record systems in their practices and begin to share information electronically under meaningful use rules, they will be able to receive up to $63,750 per provider over a six-year period of time. So I hope that's useful information to you, but I'd be glad to answer more questions about the incentive program or about the strategic plan at this time. And Chris, what's the process? We'd like to again announce that Oliver Droppers is here and Dave Witter is also on the line to be able to answer any specific questions that that you may want to direct to them. Chris Coughlin has been essential with our communications strategies and plans is here as well, and so you can direct those questions to me, or I may ask ask my colleagues for some assistance in answering as well.
So, you know, as we're trying to run this as much as we have the other public meetings, which is why we have the ability for people to unmute your phones and ask questions. We'll see. You know, we may have to ask you to identify that you'd like to speak, and then we can start a queue. Or if you want to send in a written question, Oliver is sitting here monitoring those, and I believe that at least one has come in so far. So whichever you're you know, more comfortable with is fine, and we can see how it proceeds. I think we have plenty of time. We scheduled an hour and a half to really give some time for some good dialogue. So we hope that you have questions and that we can start a conversation.
So let's start with the first written question. Oliver, would you read that for us?
Yes, the first question is, why does the HIE strategic plan focus only on light central services? From my perspective, the central services are key. Otherwise, we will continue on the path we maybe are already on, everyone creating whatever for the narrow purposes.
So that's a great question. And when we think about light services, and I'm going to ask Dave Witter to unmute his phone and join in as well on this conversation, we're really thinking that in terms of a market-driven approach, which is what we've heard from our stakeholders that they would prefer, and to allow those community investments to continue to thrive and grow, that there are certain services that will be of most value provided in a mass fashion, so to speak. So we certainly believe that, for example, a master provider index would be useful across exchanges, and so that each and every health information organization would not need to create their own statewide index, and would still be able to access communication with providers across the state and eventually across state borders. So that's one example of a light central service that we're envisioning. We also believe that there are some really important public health reporting responsibilities that providers already are being asked to provide, and county health local county health departments are being asked to share with the state public health department as well. And so creating a system to allow that to happen in a cohesive central way rather than patched together duplicative systems is another central service that we envision being of use. Dave, do you want to chime in a little bit on the light central services that we're envisioning in our early phases of statewide HIE?
Sure. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. As Carol indicated, what we're envisioning when we say light are the things that are going to be necessary to support local health information organizations, the HIOs, that are already developing. I guess in contrast, it may be helpful to note that there are some states, a lot of the northeastern smaller states, where they don't have local health information organizations that are evolving. And New Mexico is another example where they have a very strong central health information organization that provides essentially all the kinds of services that may be necessary to facilitate communication. But because, on the map that Carol showed you, there are a number of local health information organizations that are in different stages of development, we did not want to be presumptuous to assume that the state HIO functions are going to replace those. So part of the dilemma part of the issue we have in thinking through the strategic plan, and as we get into the next phase of planning, is to be very specific about defining what those are. So initially, the highest priority seems to be developing the master provider index, but there also is the issue of how are we going to be able to locate patients with either a record locator service or some kind of a patient lookup function. And also facilitating the trust infrastructure for communications between local HIOs or between, if in areas where there isn't a local HIO, of allowing direct access to the statewide HIO. So that's kind of the nature of what we're looking at, but we're counting on the feedback from the folks in the communities to be very specific about the services that you see that you're going to need so that we can incorporate them in the planning process. So in essence, the light central services might be a little heavier than light depending on what you all need.
Thanks, Dave. And I think it's a good time to emphasize that the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT has been very, very specific with states in recent communication that there are three top priorities in terms of information exchange in the early years. And those three priorities are e-prescribing, the ability to receive structured lab results by providers, and the sharing of clinical summaries of patient health information across organizational boundaries. So when we talk about organizational boundaries. Where there's many physician groups, as you know, that are affiliated with one local hospital or a system of physicians in some of our Medicaid provider groups as well. And so sharing information between providers within that kind of organization or within a provider-affiliated network really doesn't meet the standards of what ONC is looking for in terms of the e-prescribing, structured lab results, and clinical summary sharing. And so these are the top goals. And so understanding the services that will need to be standing up in Oregon to be able to allow providers to meet those meaningful use standards or what we expect to see in the meaningful use rules will be very important, and very important for us to move fairly quickly on. So that's what we're hearing from our federal partners, and I think that's hopefully will provide some insight to where our planning will need to be developed in phase one in terms of those central services. So, Chris, there's a question about the meeting materials. Could you answer that?
Be happy to. On the HITOC website, on the stakeholder webinar and engagement page, it lists this webinar, and there's a link to meeting materials, and that includes the PowerPoint that was used today, as well as the executive summary of the strategic plan, and several other supporting documents, including the list of HITOC members and the list of the members of the strategic work group that were critical members of the planning team to help put together the strategic plan. There's also a comment sheet there that would allow to provide feedback. It's the same questions that you will get when you leave the webinar today. So that should give you an overview. Also on the HITOC website is a link to the complete strategic plan in case people want to look at that as well and not just the executive summary.
Thanks, Chris. We have another question online that I'd like to have Oliver read. Read, Oliver?
So another question is, from a financial perspective, what amount is HITOC contemplating will be needed for the plan?
So on the financing piece right now, we are in the process of developing our four-year budget for HIE. And so understanding that these are decisions that will be needed to be made by our work groups in phase one, we estimate that those core central services at a statewide level will cost in the range of about $3.5 million. And so we're anticipating that the $8.58 million cooperative agreement grant would fund that, as well as the planning process that has occurred thus far and will continue to occur. We estimate that setting up and creating the business operation structure of the state-designated entity will be included in that budget, as well as the continued oversight from the current HITOC Health Information Technology Oversight Council. We also know that to be able to measure quality and understand the outcomes of increased information exchange and understanding that data will take some investment on our part, and so we'll be including some pilot projects around quality reporting in our first phase of our budget. We also know that there will be ongoing expenses to staff and create a help desk and continue to update and interface the technology that the state purchases. And so within that, we will be creating our sustainable finance plan as part of our work group process. Dave, do you want to add anything to my answer on the finance piece?
Only that we have gathered some information from vendors last fall before we focused on what the scope of the central services might be. And so we do have some estimates by which we're trying to put this together. But so on the one hand, we will have a set of numbers to include in the submission, but over the next 6 months, that is, between the time we submit the plan and next February, we will have to really nail down what the scope of the specific services are that we were talking about earlier, and then go through another process of trying to recost those. That's going to be key to figuring out not only the total cost, but also the means by which we intend to finance them.
Thanks, Dave. And I think to build that on that a little bit, I just want to emphasize that we've begun to do some analysis on the value benefit derived from health information exchange to various stakeholders. So understanding that as duplicative medical testing is reduced because those tests are available at a different point of care to a provider who's seeing a patient who might be visiting a different emergency department, for example, would be an example of a benefit, the reduction of duplicative testing. Improvement in healthcare outcomes, and when I talk about those, I think about an example being a reduction of medication interactions, because medication lists would be available to a provider and there may be fewer adverse reactions to medications. So understanding that there will be quality improvements in healthcare, and there should be a cost benefit that could be attached to that. So these are kind of complicated analysis to create and to vet with those stakeholders, and so we'll be doing that in a very open process over the next 6 months, as Dave says, and really have a robust conversation around how best to ultimately share in the cost and the benefit of statewide health information exchange. Do we have any other questions in the queue, Oliver?
We have two additional questions. The next question is, will HIE strategic plan that's been developed address how statewide HIE will exchange health data with regional and provider HIEs and other health systems? This is critically important.
So really this is about those interfaces between health information organizations that are burgeoning and developing around our state. And this is what we're really referring to when we talk about a set of standards and a certification process for that information to flow between regions. And so if you are a patient of a provider in Medford, for example, and you're traveling over to Bend for the weekend and unfortunately injure your knee in a ski accident, that the hospital in Bend would have access to your health information from your provider in Medford. And so this is really what the administration and what Congress was envisioning when they invested the money into the ARRA bill for the development of these statewide plans. And ultimately, when we're talking to our federal partners, I want to emphasize that this is really not just when we think about regions. Right now, we're talking a lot about regions within our state. But really, there's a simultaneous effort that's being worked on at the national level called the National Health Information Network. And that has two projects, one the what we call InHIM Connect and the other being InHIM Direct. And both of those projects are using different technology platforms to develop the ability for providers to communicate across systems and across geographic boundaries with each other, so ultimately that this ability for information to freely flow between providers around our nation is established. And so so Oregon's first step and is to look at those standards. I know that they will be doing so simultaneously at the federal level as well. And so within a year or so, you could expect to see federal standards for health information organizations to be able to share that information. I hope that answered your question, but if you were the person that asked that and you'd like more explanation, you can unmute your phone and speak up or send us another question online as well.
At this point, we'd like to ask if there are any audio questions among our participants this morning. Hearing none, then we have another question that was submitted online. There are many Oregon-wide requirements functions that can only be handled by a statewide HIE. For example, personal health records. Oregonians move between providers and HIEs. Without a central PHR, health records will be fragmented and localized to certain subsets of information, with no sharing of PHRs across HIEs.
The personal health record is an important key to better health outcomes on the part of the individuals. And really, so having access to your own health information and not only that, being able to see who else has access to your information is certainly a key component of what we expect to see in meaningful use standards. And so when a patient has the ability to receive that that summary of their health record from their provider, that would be a great first step. We do believe that over time, the technology and the consumer willingness, essentially, for widespread personal health record adoption and use will grow. And so as consumer demand grows for personal health records, I think you will see the health information exchange efforts really embracing and further developing those technologies to reach those. As part of our strategic plan, we anticipate setting up a consumer advisory council to advise HITOC and then ultimately the state-designated entity nonprofit as well. And so we know that and certainly embrace the idea that your health care information is truly yours. And so understanding how we can best engage consumers and drive the adoption for a patient-centric health information exchange system, it's really will be at the core of further planning for HITOC. And so the creation of this Consumer Advisory Council will be a key to that. So let's pause for a minute, and again, I would like to invite you to open your phone line or unmute and ask any questions or provide input to us at this point. And if we're not haven't addressed the question that you or questions you anticipated hearing about in today's call, I'd love to know that as well so that we can make that attempt. Don't be shy.
Sure. Yes, I have a question. This is Bob McGuire. I'm trying to get a better handle on the implementation for hospital-based meaningful use of payments. And so first part of that would be, well, payments will be received in 2011 is that you're eligible to bill for payments 11 with payments in 12, in other words, the cash flow aspects for both Medicare and Medicaid, or would you actually receive payments in 2011? And just some words around where the progress is, because I haven't seen the detail level of this, in terms of CMS and then later Medicaid's ability to actually make payments, to evaluate, approve, and then make payments.
Wow. And so thanks for asking that, Bob. And I'll just first share with you that this is a subject that there are numerous technical assistance calls and webinars being held many times a week right now across the country. And there's not only support that's being provided by CMS and ONC for states to help states plan for the provision of those meaningful use payments. But there's also, of course, as you might imagine, a lot of vendors in this field as well. And so what I'll say is that the federal, the law right now states that that the Medicaid incentive program could begin at the beginning of the federal fiscal year, which would be October of 2010, and the Medicare payment program will begin at the beginning of the calendar year, January 1st, 2011. States have, including Oregon, have great and very noble intentions of standing up their incentive payment programs as quickly as possible. But I think that we are hearing from our neighboring states and states across the country that mirroring the January or early 2011 timeframe will be most realistic for us. In the meaningful use payments on the Medicaid side, for the year 2011, there's a pretty simple requirement of a 90-day attestation for adopting an electronic health record system, upgrading a current system so that it would qualify for meaningful use. And so if you have some sort of a practice management system in place but it wouldn't have the capabilities for electronic sharing of information, then you would need to upgrade that or attest that you are in the process of upgrading that or in the process of upgrading or implementing a health information record system. And so that in 2011, that's pretty much what it will take. And then, of course, the Oregon then will need to be able to verify that you have the patient mix of 20% if you're a pediatrician or 30% of your patients are Medicaid patients. And they will also then have to find a way to ultimately have some sort of a look back, an audit system, to make sure that providers are not capturing payments in multiple states or something of that sort. So there's a new website that has just been launched by CMS with more information on the EHR incentive programs. And I'm going to give you that, and Oliver you can put that on the screen as well, right? So that website is cms.gov/EHR incentive programs. And so this just went online, I think, about less than 2 weeks ago. And we'll have the latest information for those incentive programs, as well as FAQs and an ability to interact, I think, with CMS on those questions. There's also the Regional Extension Center, which is called OHITECH. You can find information about OHITECH at O-HITECH.com. HITEC.org, where the Regional Extension Center will provide smaller providers and particularly primary care providers with as well as critical access hospitals with the technical assistance support they need to select and adopt, upgrade, or implement EHR systems to be able to achieve meaningful use. And then that includes the kinds of support of training, certainly of best practices groups where they'll have some online communities, I believe, of learning practices and of real practice management change advice and that kind of workflow advice that you need as you move your practice into an EHR system. Other questions on the phone line? Now that we've had one person speak up, I think other people can certainly feel free to chime in. So offer more online questions for us.
We did receive an additional question. The question is, can you share how HITOC plans to form work groups to help formulate the next steps in planning, technology standards, common services?
So Chris has been working with our team on helping to plan that for our next phase of work groups, and I'm going to ask her to take this question.
Thanks, Carol. Well, we're still working on kind of pulling together the best, the most effective and efficient way to make this next phase move forward, and plan on having at the August 5th HITOC meeting a proposal on exactly how to structure these work groups. But what we're thinking at this point, and would love love input and feedback on it, is to begin with three work groups, one around legal and policy, one around technology, and I'm sorry, but I'm just blanking, and one on finance. Obviously, as Carol said, we have a finance plan that needs to go to ONC in February. So those three work groups, as well as two councils. Carol mentioned the Consumer Advisory Council, also anticipating having a Health Information Organization Advisory Council to allow those local and regional HIOs to have a place to come together to provide input to HITOC in phase one. So the three work groups, technology, finance, and legal and policy, are likely to have task-related subcommittees of each of the groups so that we would have a wide range of subject matter experts and stakeholders on each of the work groups, and then smaller subcommittees. There's a lot of work that has to happen very quickly. I think we saw the strategic work group process work very well when the strategic work group met twice a month and three times in April from the end of January through May, and then that input went to HITOC at the monthly meeting. So we're anticipating a similar sort of process, but with subcommittees underneath the broader work group committee. So at this point, that's the thinking at this point. But again, welcome input, and that proposal will go to HITOC at the August meeting, and hopefully at that point we'll launch the application process. It will be again, as the strategic work group was handled during this planning process, open application process. People will apply. We're anticipating a subcommittee of HITOC will then make selections as they did for the strategic work group. So that's what we're anticipating at this time.
Thanks, Chris. I think that we received another question about the selection process and nomination process to those work groups. I think you've pretty much addressed that. I also want to say that working with associations And the health leadership council, they certainly the provider associations, the Oregon Hospital and Health System Association, Oregon Medical Association, the Primary Care Association, Family Medicine, et cetera, will be also very important for us, and we'll be doing outreach with different groups to ensure that we use a very inclusive process of selecting members to those work groups.
And Carol, the only other thing I would add is that, you know, ONC in the Office of the National Coordinator talks a lot about the importance of the public-private partnership. And so on all the work groups, it's important to have that balance. And then, again, the Consumer Advisory Council to make sure that the consumer voice is at the table and included in all of the various, in the next phase of planning as that moves forward.
Very important, and certainly the messages that we're receiving from our federal partners is really about partnership. And so at the federal level, I think that we could speak to really an unprecedented partnership that has been developed between CMS and the Office of the National Coordinator around this large initiative, and they are working very hard to be inclusive and create additional partnerships with other federal agencies that impact or are touched will be impacted by health information exchange. So certainly SAMHSA, CDC, HRSA, ARC, and others, to use a lot of acronyms in one sentence, will be partnering at the federal level to help provide funding and support for some health information exchange efforts. Likewise, at the state, we have to view this really, as you say, as a public-private partnership. So knowing that the public sector can't and shouldn't be fully at the helm here with planning and developing a statewide system that's really about providing better care for all Oregonians. And so we need our healthcare stakeholders, and we need consumers to be involved in that process at every point. So, thank you. Could I open or ask for, is there anybody on the line from OhiTech today that would be available to share any more information? I'm not sure if they've been able to join us or not. Dave, would you like to give us a little bit more about the OhiTech overview in terms of the services that providers can expect to see from our Regional Extension Center partner?
Thanks, Carol. I think the roles that HiTech needs are
OhiTech.
HiTech need to play, and that they're planning on playing is first to help providers that don't have EHRs with the selection process and the support process for them to acquire EHRs, and second for practices with EHRs to work with them as would be useful for them in order to assure that we're doing everything we can for people to qualify with the meaningful use criteria. So they have a number of services offerings in mind to be able to support that, including training, technical assistance, efforts to work with various practices and provider organizations. We want to do everything we can through HiTech to maximize the ability of providers to meet the meaningful use criteria and to get their incentive payment.
Really, it's I think that one thing on their website which jumps out at me is really that this is really about transforming the delivery of primary care, and certainly the better information at the point of care is really about transforming medical care across all kinds of services. The integration of electronic health information between physical and mental health providers is certainly something that we strongly support and will be looking at ways of assisting and certainly within our long-term care facilities across the state as well. Oliver, do we have any other questions in the queue?
At this time, there are no additional questions.
I'd like to offer another chance for comments or questions on the phone line. So, hearing none, I think I'll give you a little bit more information about the next steps that you can expect to see from HITOC in terms of the strategic plan. As we mentioned before, the public comment period is running from June 17th through July 14th. Giving us a chance to get out into the communities and to hear from people over this period of time. We will be then creating an edited version of the draft plan, strategic plan that you can currently access at our website, and bringing that back to HITOC along with a draft operational plan and a draft budget to begin for HITOC to begin to think about at a public webinar HITOC meeting on July 27th at 10 a.m. And more information about that will be coming shortly through our Gov Delivery notice site. HITOC will meet in person on August 5th to finalize the strategic and operational plan, and as Chris mentioned, to begin to confirm our work group selection process and work plan and the charters for those work groups. On August 5th, that will occur. The statewide health information exchange strategic and operational plans will be submitted to ONC in August 2010. And that's a national requirement by the end of August that those plans are received to ONC. We expect the approval of those plans, of our plans, to take 6 or 8 weeks or so, but we will not be going into hiatus during that time. We will begin to immediately launch phase one, setting up our work groups and meeting and beginning to plan for our central services, our standards, and certification process to really look at our specially protected health information policies in Oregon and to ensure that we have the right legislative proposals with our legislative partners as well in Oregon to make sure that we have the laws in place to enable effective and secure sharing of information. So, I think I'll open it up one more time for additional questions or comments. You can type those in now, or you can unmute your line and offer any kind of feedback to us. And I'm going to do that one more time. If we need to end a little bit early, I'll give you the 15 minutes back into your day. So, I'll. Again, is, are there any other comments or feedback input that, that anybody would like to offer this morning? Chris, I'd like you to, again, just explain the exit survey and the and give our listeners the website information.
All right. Well, when you, as you leave the webinar, there should be a survey that, that pops up. It's very broad. It's, you know, kind of gives you a chance to just type in any thoughts that you have or input that you'd like to provide to us. And then tomorrow you will get a follow-up email that will include the information to the hitalk.info@state.or.us web email address where you can continue to provide input to the strategic plan until July 14th. And as you said, Carol, we will then be integrating that input into the strategic plan that will go back to HITALK for final approval on August 5th.
Thank you very much. Hearing no further questions, we're going to end this webinar a little bit early today. We thank all of you for participating. I'd like to thank Dave Witter, Oliver Droppers, and Chris Coughlin this morning for joining me in presenting this information to you. Thank you for your questions. Keep them coming, and please, please feel free to offer us additional input. Have a nice day.
So we need to save the question log.
That's right.
Okay.
Figure out how to do that.
So it's up in the corner under file, maybe.
Yep, save chat log, right?
Yeah, so there's a chat log and the questions log. See two?
Let's see.
Or maybe
yours
is the chat.
So let me.
Yeah.
So she needs stuff. She might have an email. I need a show. All right, now we're off air.
I thought they had said, I thought Ruby had said something about, I know we talked to them about it, but I don't think they, you know, it's like I didn't remind them.
Yeah.
Oh, there's somebody on a beach.
Somebody what?
Oh, I paused it.
Oh, okay. No, I see it. Look.
Yeah, that's
so we have
to. Did it get off?
It didn't.
It's still not off?
Well, it says you are no longer presenter. Oh, it's your screen.
But I stopped it. It says off air online.
All right, so now it's like this.
Yeah, that's all right. They can look at that. That's fine. Sorry, until I get this saved. Yeah, there's nothing. Okay.
Okay.
Alright, file. It just says save chat log.
Oh, because on mine, see, look, if I go here, if I go up here to file,
mm-hmm.
it gives me save chat log and save questions log.
So, where, show that to me, do you mind?
Not at all. So, it's just, I just have, see, mine is littler.
Yeah, and see, mine doesn't show that.
So you don't have a file view help?
I do, but it's up here. And it just says save chat log. Can you save the question log on yours?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe you can. You got to save?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There's not a lot.
Mm-mm.
Um,
So can I log out of this?
I think so, because now I have. We just wanted the questions, yeah. Right?
And I was able to save them on this as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, for some reason on the Mac it won't give me this.
Oh, you know what? The Mac, it doesn't like the Mac. Like, go to meeting. Not everything will happen on Macs.
Okay.
So Bob Adams had a question. Carol, that Joan forwarded.
What's that?
After sitting in on today's webinar, I'm wondering, came to you too, but I'm wondering if I need to try and get information into potential attendees' hands before Tuesday. Will you be going into more details than you did today? I know our CEO has personally invited the CEOs of the three area hospitals, and I've invited key members of our HIO and a few from my staff as well. Paul Jenke, our CEO, asked me specifically if there was enough detailed new information to make it worth canceling his leadership meeting to have our executive team attend. I could not answer him. Any thoughts, keeping in mind that outside of one of the members, no one has really kept up to date with HITOC's activity, leaving it instead to Mary and me. And of course, you know, Joan answers.
You're kidding.
No.
What's the answer?
Hi, Bob. Good questions here. We have a lot of information on the HITOC website, including the working documents of the strategic work group and HITOC. Perhaps we can suggest some key documents. Let's see what Carol has to say. And then she sees me. She sees me. Got it. You know, is there any error? So, I mean, I guess my response to him would be, you know, this is an opportunity to have some really detailed conversations.
That's right.
When Carol's there, so yeah. We can do, you know, you can do the overview and see if there's. But if they get the key HIO and hospital CEOs there to really get into, well, what does it mean for the Southern Coast?
That's right. That's right.
You know, so if he can get
and
those people,
and then you should also say that what that, I mean, is Clayton going or something?
I mean, he had said they were trying to coordinate around.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Because then you start talking about specific technologies, like we did in Medford after that meeting. You know, I think that, you know, those are some of the really tough questions that they want to ask.
Well, do you want me to reply to this and encourage him to try to get those few people there?
Yeah. Just say that, you know, that we found that that on webinars people tend to ask higher level questions, but we certainly got you know, into addressing. Or having a chance for community conversations that were more in depth at some of the first two. Hi, Dave. Yeah. None at all. Yeah, I think that'd be great. And then I think we need. Chris mentioned that you felt like after listening to the ONC call yesterday that we need to talk about HITOC membership. And we had kind of a strategic idea around putting an ex officio community health person on HITOC to address some of the public health concerns. And this has been something that Tina and Bruce had been talking with Rick and I about. But I mentioned to Tina this morning that I think we're going to, in terms of standing up services and really, you know, governing from HITOC's position, in 2011, I think we're going to have to revisit that conversation. We can order, the governor can order any ex officio positions. I already checked on that. Okay. I already talked to Tina about Mel and Judy. What about anybody from one of the HIOs? Other than Greg and Steve. So that position, chair of the HIO council, advisory council, that position.
If you do not think you need
and the chair of the consumer advisory council.
Yeah.
I think those would both be good. Can you make a note of that as input for our strategic plan, Dave? Chris is working on something else.
Here, I...
No, wait. Her pen's in her hand. She's making a note now. Okay, good. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. 8:30? Here. Oh, director's office. No, it's been canceled. Clayton can't. It's going to be in California. Abby doesn't really think she needs to be at the I hear you. If I didn't have Chris tracking it, I wouldn't have been able to tell either. We've got it scheduled from 8:30 to 11:30. I think that really Julie's trying to help us get started on thinking through what these questions within the PIN are. So I think you saw Karine's spreadsheet of all the shells, right? Or okay. So yeah. So I think that has to be kind of the first order of business and like a conversation about how to address some of those strategic changes. One that jumped out on me is the need for a detailed project plan. So, and how we're going to get that written. In terms of just writing a detailed project plan with timeline and all of that, I think if we needed to bring somebody else on, I could do so through your contract or through Julie's, and hire somebody to come in and look at it and write that. I think that's probably the direction that I'm leaning toward. So. Mindy may offer, and I'd like to express that I don't have confidence in that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're in agreement on that. Okay. Well, I'm going to go meet with Tina about our LCs for a few minutes, and then Oliver and I are going to be working on budget numbers until about 3, I think. So we'll probably be calling you back. Okay? Super. Thanks.
So I just said we found that webinars tend to draw more higher level questions, but that in Medford and the Dalles last week, the conversations really focused in on more of a community dialogue, including local and state implications for next steps. It would be great if the CEOs were there, and if your executive team was also there, it would be an opportunity for them to get an update. If there are specific areas that you want Carol to delve into more, she could do that. I will also be sending you an annotated agenda later today or first thing tomorrow, and I'd be happy to talk to you more about how best to structure the meeting to make it worthwhile for everyone involved.
Perfect.
Yeah, 8:30. So, you know, Julie sent that to you, but that didn't go out to the team yet with the agenda. So if the team doesn't know where we're meeting or, like, the ocean thing has been canceled. I mean, I did send an email saying I thought it was going to be, but so I don't know if Joan can do that or if you want me to just forward what Julie sent.
Okay, yeah, I have that through all of these. I had a
meeting this morning.
Meeting at 8 this morning, yeah.
Yeah, 8:30 is still a nice hour, but yeah, okay. So when does Rochelle come into action for the team?
I'm not sure what Rochelle's going to do currently doing or what she will do with us.
Because she came over and talked to me a little bit yesterday. She's like, well, I'll have some on my talk. I said, oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I said, wow. We could use some administrative support. That's what she said. She's like, I'm half MTG. My understanding is I'm half MTG and half iTalk.
Oh, good God.
Came over.
Nobody told me that, but I'll go with it. Let's just start giving her jobs.
So what does she do?
She's an administrative assistant, is my understanding.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will sit down with her and find out exactly where her best skill sets are.
And I'll even make this additional comment. And I said, be careful when you say this. She's like, I'm looking for work to do. I said, well, you won't be saying that pretty soon.
I think, yeah.
Okay, that's
exactly. So I do have a project.
Okay.
Which is getting the requests out for letters of support.
That would be a great thing.
Wouldn't that be a great project?
Yeah.
Because we were thinking maybe getting Nova to do it, but if she's sitting there, we'd have time, and if I could just have one person I could work with.
Yeah, and they could come into the state then.
It would be, like, really good.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay. That has moved to the top of my worry list.
Hopefully that's relieved some anxiety then. What's going on there?
Judy, it's Carol. Do you miss me? Do you miss me calling you all the time? Oh, I miss calling you all the time too, trust me. I know. It's very, yeah, it's in the dark cave corner, I hope. Well, that'll be nice when that's done. So I have a question for you. Who is managing the contract stuff now out of Uber? Okay, so we thought we had an executed contract extension for Mount Tabor, and those were all signed, but John Hall called contracts today, and apparently they said they don't know that that's been executed, and so we're down to like single digits in their contract amount right now. And they still have a lot of work to do. We will spend that by tomorrow. So, yeah. So it's really important that they should be all signed. I don't know that they've seen it, but I gave it to Hillard. It was written up. I signed it. He sent it to John. John signed it, and I don't know anything else after that. John Hall, who works for Mount Tabor. Yeah. It's a technology consultant. So they they have an original contract with us that was for $99,000. This was an extension that would have brought them up to like $149,000. Thank you. Fantastic. Thanks, Judy.
Because you were able to get on the internet, right?
What?
You were able to get on the internet?
Yeah.
Now you're able to tell my work.
So do you want me to go?
I'll let you see it.
How long do we have this room? Oh, well.